that are not very comfortable to talk about sometimes for some people, and yet I think I'll prove to you this morning here that because we are so ignorant of things in the spirit world that are going on, God's people are being destroyed because of that. God's people are being impacted by the devil and his demons and demonic activity because they don't realize what's out there, what's real. You say, isn't that scary to talk about? Well, I'm going to go through and I'm going to explain you some things. And I'm not going to use any extra biblical stories. I'm not going to use any history. I'm not going to use anything but the King James Bible to show you some things about the spirit world that you need to understand. Some things of demonic activity. And the reason for that is because God commanded me to, number one, and I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you God's command to warn you. And if I don't obey His command to warn you, then I'm in trouble. And then you fall into traps, or your children fall into traps, or your friends or your family, and you can't recognize what they're involved with or what they're in. So let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord, that you please would just anoint me now and bless this time that we have in the word of God. Lord, please be with us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 12 in your Bibles, please. Again, we're going to nothing but use the King James Bible here and to prove all things. Amen. I don't need to go to any other secular books or anything else like that. I can go right to the King James Bible to prove every doctrine. And that's what we're supposed to do, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Amen. And being able to rightly divide the word of truth. That is the call of God upon us today. Now, Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, and so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. We see here, the one thing I want you to notice, I preached last week on the spirit kingdom, or the devil's kingdom, but I didn't use these verses, and I wish I would have here, but if you look at this, God is saying, here is the devil's kingdom. He has one. Satan is the king of his kingdom. He is the god of this world. And you have to understand something, that you're really playing on the devil's playground. You're really walking around on the devil's playground. Satan is the god of this world. And you and I must understand that everything that we do for God is against His kingdom. Do you understand that? So marvel not when it's hard for you to live for the Lord and everybody around you doesn't like what you do. There's a different spirit about you and people notice it and they don't like. All right. We'll see how long this one lasts here. But I am coming in. So anyway. As you know here, the devil's kingdom is real, and everything that you and I do, everything that we do for the Lord is against His kingdom. He hates it. He's against it, and against what we do for the Lord. You say, why do we need to study this thing of devil possession? And by the way, I'll use the two words demon and devil interchangeably because they demon is the common word that's used now, but devil is the King James Bible word, okay? Devils, it's called. You say, why do I need to know this? Well, because, first of all, my answer is very simple. It's in the Bible, and God thought the spiritual war to be so important that He spent much time in the Scriptures telling you about it. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We must never let Satan have the advantage of us being ignorant. His ways or the wiles of the devil are real. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where a Christian can be demon-possessed. However, I do believe that they can be influenced by devils. Matthew 16:23 says this, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus was not saying that Peter was Satan, but Jesus felt the presence of Satan and the influence and him influencing Peter's words. You see, he understood that Satan was right there influencing what Peter was saying, influencing his thoughts, because Jesus knows and he can see into that spirit world, and he understood what was going on. As you'll see later on in the messages today, you'll understand that. Folks, this spirit world is real. The devil is real. His kingdom is real. It's not phony. And the Bible is very clear that our people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge. They don't understand these truths. They don't know them. They don't examine the scriptures any longer. They don't even realize that they're in a spiritual war. Let me tell you, you've got all these people today. You have all of them, and what they're doing, they're trying to fight the New World Order. Have you heard it? I mean, you go on radio programs and everywhere else, and they're trying to fight the New World Order. But let me say this to you. If you are not a born-again Christian with Jesus Christ in your heart, you cannot fight the New World Order. You are actually on their side. You are fighting with them, and you are a part of them. Why? Because you're of another spirit. You're not of the Spirit of God. You're of another spirit. So how can you fight? How can Satan cast out Satan? He can't. Understand that. That you must be born again to fight the New World Order. Oh, you can go up there and you can reveal their works and what they do and everything else. But the whole point of the matter is that if you're not fighting them on the side of Christ with Him in your heart, then you can't fight Him at all. Because you're really on the other team. You must know your enemy, and you must know the wiles of the devil, his foot soldiers, his tricks, and his ways. That's the purpose of studying devil possession. I do believe we have seen people, signs of devil possession today. I do believe that wicked act that just took place and took that girl's life was devil possession. You'll never convince me it wasn't. The mannerisms, the actions, the things that I've heard about. Listen, folks, that stuff is real. And when you've got to be careful, and you've got to understand what the Bible says about these things, and follow God, and follow the Word of God. And when you see things that are not right, you need to confront them and deal with them. There's another school of thought out there, though, that says you shouldn't talk about the spirit world at all. It's evil to do that. Shouldn't talk about demon possession, devil possession, things like that. Well, let me say this. It's not evil to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not evil. That's called biblical. It's evil to practice witchcraft, spells, incantations, to consult a witch or a wizard, or a woman with a familiar spirit. It is not wicked to study the word of God to be prepared for spiritual warfare. I had someone who told a person, tell a person who was studying these things out that it's wicked. Oh, it's wicked just to study that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't know that. You shouldn't be studying those things. Well, let me ask you, was it wicked for Moses to bring the law and sit down and teach them what a necromancer was, what a wizard was, and what a familiar spirit was? You think Moses just mentioned these words without explaining to them what these things were? When's the last time you heard a sermon on demon possession? Has anybody here ever heard one? Anybody else ever heard one, really? Why? I'll tell you why. Pastors are too scared of people looking at them and saying, oh, that's just weird. You shouldn't talk about those things, and you shouldn't bring those things up, and those are uncomfortable things. And well, you can't preach that when you're entertaining goats instead of feeding sheep. Do you understand that? Listen closely. When you're entertaining goats, you don't feed sheep. And that's the problem. You have pastors today that are entertaining the goats, having carnivals and games and prizes and door prizes for showing up to church. They're entertaining the goats and they're not feeding the sheep. That's why. That's why when people come in on a Sunday morning here and they get fed. They get fed a lot. And they're like, I've never heard anything like that before. Well, that's because most Sunday mornings you go to church, somebody's giving you a gospel message, the same one that you've heard for 35 years, and they're there to feed the person that comes in, not the flock that God has given them. they have their flock entertaining goats in the building instead of getting fed like sheep. People today live in an absolute bubble, especially Christians. There are devilish activities going on around them in spiritual wickedness, and they're blind to it because they don't study the Bible. They read through things that ignore the uncomfortable things of Scripture. By doing so, they are fooled by the wiles of the devil. You have Christians today that are totally ignorant to the spirit world and its workings. Like Jesus says, the devil has a kingdom. God said to preach all the words of this life, didn't He? He freed Peter from prison and He said, go and preach all the words of this life. What are those? Everything found in this book. There's nothing. Listen, God didn't make His word to be a mystery to the saved. You understand that? God reveals mysteries to the saved. The cults, occultic practices, the Masons, all of those are secret societies that hide the word of God, that hide things from people, that dwell in mysteries. God says, behold, I show you a mystery. I reveal unto you the mysteries. You have to understand there's a war going on, and like I said last week, you need your armor on. You've got to know what you're facing. Listen, can I explain something to you while we open up on this devil possession topic? Number one, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You need to understand something. You need to understand something clearly. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Sounds like I should pay attention to what He's saying then, doesn't it? Because He speaketh expressly. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed. Hey, you believe in every word Bible still? You still believe in that? Alright, just checking. Giving heed to seducing spirits. And what else? And doctrines of devils. Whoa! Wait a minute. You mean there are doctrines of devils? Yeah. There are. And they're being taught every week to people. Every day to people. And what do they do? What do they have? Seducing spirits that draw men away. Wolves that draw men away from the truth. That seduce them with satanic lies. Can I give you one here today that is so prevalent in all the churches today that is very sick and disgusting? You have grown men that are supposed to be theologians that have their nice little Bible degrees, and they stand up there and they preach, or they write on Facebook and they say this. Well, you know, I mean, where does it say in the Bible that you should have evidence after you're born again? That you're really saved? I mean, where does it say that repentance is necessary? I mean, are you serious? Are we really having a discussion here where we have to wonder whether God, when He comes inside of you, changes you and does a work? We're really talking about that? What is that? A doctrine of devils! Are you serious? Who has to debate that? I used to be a drug dealer! I used to be a fornicator! Are you serious? We're really debating that? We're really debating that? Whether God changes a man? Oh my word. What is that? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That doesn't mean they were part of it. They'll depart from the truth of it, the teaching of it. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Huh. So what He's saying is there's demonic spirits out there. But remember what the Bible says, to try the spirits to see whether they're of God? For many false prophets have gone out. Many antichrists, John said. I believe each generation has an antichrist. A picture one. Each generation has a group of them that come along until that final one that comes. But many antichrists have went out. But the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you know that someone could very well be under demonic influence and come under the guise of a Christian? They can come right into your assembly. They can marry one of your daughters. No way. Really? John 6:70 says different. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Wow. Jesus was saying, you don't all believe. Peter had just given his confession and said, "Hey, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why would we leave you? We know you're God." And then Jesus looked at him and said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Now, they don't know what he's talking about. They have no clue what he's saying at this point. Judas was already under demonic influence right away, and Jesus knew it. Later, the Bible says that Satan entered into him. We'll talk about that later on today. But there was a prep work that took place, as it is with devils. They prep the person there for a while. That demonic activity is a prepping that takes place. A preparation. Mark 1:23, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.' And behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?' In Matthew 8:29, 'Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?' James 2:19, 'Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.'" You see that? So somebody can come into your church. They can grow up in your youth department. They believe in God. Sure they do. They sing all the same songs that you do. They attend the same church service you do. Boy, they look real in front of you. When you get them home, they abuse their wife, they abuse their children, they live like the devil, they're into all kinds of occult practices. Did you actually think? See, what you're looking for is somebody to walk around and have an "I hate Jesus" t-shirt on and a backwards cross on their head. What you don't understand is, wake up! The devil doesn't work that way, folks. He doesn't work that way at all. It's a seducing spirit! A seducing spirit! You know what seducing is, right? Husband, wife, you understand that. I'm not going to go into that, but you understand what that is, right? You know what a seducing spirit is, right? You know what to seduce means? Pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Did you think he was just going to come openly and say, "Hey, I'm the devil. I want your daughter"? Did you think that's what he was going to do? Why do you think so many women are fooled by these men? Because they're seducing spirits. And they're out there, and they're real. But let's not talk about that. Let's all talk about sunshine and bubbles. Let's not talk about the Word of God. Let's not dig in deep to it. Let's not be prepared spiritually. Let's not grow and be strong and put our armor on and fight the devil. Let's live like a bunch of spiritual morons and get overtaken by Satan. Let's live like that. That'd be better, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's better. Let's just let the devil take our children away from us. Let him seduce our children from us and stay blind. Because we don't want to preach on the things that aren't comfortable. We want to stay away from those. We don't want anybody labeling us a charismatic. Well, I could care less what you call me, to be honest with you. I don't really care anymore. I stopped caring about that a long time ago. You know why? Because I figured out it doesn't matter what you say. It matters what God says. And that's the bottom line to it all. It matters what He says. And if He says preach it, I preach it. Whether you like it or not. And whether I like it or not. Because I don't always like it. Do you think it was comfortable for me to stand in a Lutheran church and go to a funeral the way I did yesterday? Do you think that was comfortable? Besides sticking out like a sore thumb. It wasn't comfortable at all. But I did it because God wanted me to do it. I did it because there was 200 to 300 people there probably that heard the gospel. And they needed to hear it. So I went and did it. Because of Him. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Did any one of those demons deny Jesus Christ there? when they were faced with him, what did they say? I know who thou art, Son of the Most High. I know who you are. Now, I'm going to tell you why they said that and what the deal was with that later. We're going to cover that either in the second or the, I think it's the second message this afternoon, we'll or this morning here. We'll cover that in the next message, why they said that to him and what their goal was. But do you understand this? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. These are those that are under those doctrines of demons. These are those that are under those seducing spirits. Oh, by the way, I guess I'm going to tell you now, I forgot. I did put that in here. See, you know, all of them said that Jesus was, they knew he was the Son of the Most High. Every single one of those demons did. Well, why would they do that? They believe there is one God, even in their seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They understand that. Why did Jesus want to stop them from speaking when they cried out? Why would he stop them? They were crying out, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. I know who thou art. Are you come to torment me? What were they doing? They were blasting it out in front of everybody. And Jesus was walking up there and saying, hold your peace. Basically, he was looking at them saying, shut up. Don't talk. Why? Easy. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Your answer's there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse number 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He told them to shut up because if enough people heard that he was the Christ, the Son of God, from an evil spirit, they would not have crucified him. Because they didn't want him to die on the cross for your sins. They wanted him to be outed and everybody to know he was the Son of God, not by faith, but by revelation from them, that they revealed it unto everybody that was around. So they spoke loudly out. They said, we know who you are. You're Jesus, the Son of God. Christ didn't want anybody else to bear witness of him, but him and his Father and the works that he did. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father in heaven revealed it unto thee. But what were they doing? They were running around saying, hey, that's Jesus right there. That's the Son of God right there. They wanted to blast it out. Why? Because then the princes of this world would have made him a king and said, no, we're not going to kill you. You're the Son of God. We're not going to kill you. We're going to give you the throne. We're going to have you rule. See, because this earth was looking for that Superman still back then. They were looking for that one world leader and they would have made him. But what the Jews didn't understand is that one world leader will come and he will sit in the temple of Israel saying he's God. He will sit on the Ark of the Covenant. He'll sit on that throne saying he's God. I always marvel, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I always marvel with people how they believe that the Israeli government is a godly government. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If it was a godly government, then the Antichrist would not be sitting on the throne there. Do you understand that? If it was godly, then they wouldn't be sitting on he won't be sitting on the throne there saying he is God. And then all hell breaks loose everywhere out there, and the demons and hordes from hell come up and start murdering and slaughtering the whole lot of them through the Antichrist and his power and the beast. That's what's going to happen. And then they'll flee, and then that remnant will be the Israel of God. The life will be breathed into them. You have a shell there now. You have dead men's bones there now. I'm not anti-Semite. I don't hate Israel. I don't, none of that stuff. I just believe we're messing around with things we shouldn't even be messing with in the first place. Just leave it alone. Let God deal with them. Just let God deal with them. The only reason those demons were screaming out from the rooftops every time they saw Christ was they wanted to out him. They wanted to bear a revelation of him to the world. They knew who Jesus is, who Jesus was. How could they deny the Lord? And act as if he wasn't real. They knew who he was. They were in the spirit realm. They knew who he was. I know who thou art. The Son of the Most High. Well, don't think for one second that someone is not possessed or cannot be oppressed or under devilish influence because they say the name of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. We are so foolish today. We think that everybody that spouts off Jesus and spouts off the name of Jesus and sings Onward Christian Soldiers is a godly person and is saved. My word. Whatever happened to people believing in evidence after salvation? Whatever happened to somebody believing that a saving faith changed someone? I'm not talking about doing works for salvation. I'm talking about because you were born again, God wrought the work in you. I met a lady one time after when I was working, and right after I got married, and she shook my hand, and then she began to tell me how I was going to have all these children, and this was going to happen to my life, and she was soothsaying. It was real spooky. She lived in this old abandoned church building, and she had some kind of business there. And Hannah's not in here right now. I don't see her, but she would remember this. And that lady spooked me out, man. She was just spooky. And she was one of those Christian soothsayer type people, you know. And let me ask you something. Is that of God? Did God tell us that we're supposed to fortune tell? No. In fact, somebody in the Bible, they were punished for doing that. They were punished for doing that. Saul lost his life because he went to a woman with a familiar spirit, didn't he? Just like Judas, who had a devil in him. Understand the enemy understands that the devil and demons, the work is not to erase God. They understand, they're not trying to erase God from your mind, but to teach doctrines of devils to seduce you from the truth of the Word of God. There are a lot of doctrines of devils today that teach everything the Apostle Paul warned us about. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. Listen, folks, this is somebody who's been seduced by devils. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren, watch this, read this, 1 Timothy 4:6. Look at it yourself. He's talking to young Timothy the preacher, and what does he say to him? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourish up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. God is pronouncing a blessing on you, warning people these doctrines of devils, of teaching them on this and explaining it. He's saying you'll be blessed by it. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ if you warn them of what's coming. This departure of the faith is demonic or devilish. As we see the spirit of Antichrist rise, the groundwork is being laid and devils or demons will be the seducing spirits. What does that mean, forbidding to marry? What does that mean? Oh, it's just people that believe it. It's the Roman Catholic Church and believe in celibacy. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's free love. It's a spirit of fornication and free love. Out of chaos comes order. Whatever, do what thou wilt. That's the spirit. Aleister Crowley, do what thou wilt. Satan is Aleister Crowley, his theme. Do what thou wilt. Whatever you want to do, just do it. Free love. That is the spirit of the times we live in today. Don't believe it? Well, don't do this. But just watch television for about 3 hours one night. I'm using that as an example. Don't really do it. Kick the thing in. But anyway, If you watch 3 hours worth of programming, you will see murder, fornication, murder, and fornication. Why? Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, the rise of it. You see churches now with no discipline, no order, chaos. And they think what? They're taking on a satanic principle. Because they believe that out of chaos comes order. So the house of God is all chaotic, and they believe there's some order there. What is that? A seducing spirit? Doctrines of devils? That's the free love that is shown today. Oh, you just gotta love everybody, love everything. You can't, don't be condemning. Don't be judgmental. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Judge not. Like a parrot, they sound off. Judge not. They're demonic spirits. like Antichrist, who will care not for women. Do you understand that? It'll be a thing that he'll care not. Whatever you want to do, just do it. Doesn't matter. Their conscience seared. They feel nothing. You ever seen somebody like that? We're going to get in and explain this the next hour of exactly this demonic activity and what people are like when they're under that influence and how they act. But let me just say this. One of the characteristics of that is that cauterized conscience. Just nothing there, no feeling. It's like you're staring into empty space. You're going to see in the next hour when we talk about it, or actually the third hour when we talk about it, the house being swept. Empty, and then what happens? Once it's empty and swept, a demon seven times greater comes in. Seven more demons come in. And the last half is worse than the first. Say, why do we have to study this? Because there's doctrines of devils that are taught. That's why. Because the spirit world is real and devilish activity is real. And guess what, folks? Because you talk about it does not mean, don't talk about it, it does not mean it's going to go away and it ain't going to really be there. That's just going to be, if I don't talk about it, it just won't be there. It won't be real. Amen. That's what people think. Oh, if I don't talk about it, it won't be real. Tell that to someone who buries their child. The Holy Ghost pronounces his blessing on it, not a curse. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That's precise and clear that this is coming. Any preacher should tell them and warn them. Teach them, show them. Nourish them up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So we need to study this and watch close to what the Lord is trying to teach us from his word and understand the rise of this demonic activity and what it is, be able to identify it, identify the gateways that enter into it and things like that as well. We'll cover that in the second hour. Father, thank you. I pray, Lord, that you please would just bless the next hour that we have in Jesus' name. Amen.